Do you get my point? That time, you will see the most beautiful woman on earth, and you will strangle her. You won't know you are. Look, he will look like. What I mean, like. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "The devil incarnate is here." Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm explaining that you have to form a name first. Are you getting my point? And you attract something towards yourself. He said, "The woman who fears the Lord shall be praised." I read an article in Reader's Digest some time ago, in which a man described a scene. You know, that he just sat down and watched people pass. He saw mostly middle-aged people, couples. You know, that they would be either holding hands or or just walking together, chatting. And he described that without, trying, you can see the bond between these people. That you just see the thing there. And he described that, look, that the woman may not look, outstandingly beautiful to you. He said, but you see that this man's whole life is tied to her. You know, he described the whole thing. That if they look at each other like this, you just know there's communication without they are talking. The man talked about everything. He said, why? Because they have been together for years. They have been each other's comfort. You know, he just described something. I said, I know because I've also taken that walk. I like that description. Because the man was saying something essentially. That at that time, and this one is a fact. All of you will bear witness to this. There are people you saw for the first time. You say, wow, this girl is fine. You saw her next day. This girl is fine. After 1 year, one of the fine girls here, you'll meet her. No, guys, am I joking about that? It's a fact. In fact, there's one woman I saw on TV once. I told her, this woman is very, very... My wife was looking like, what is who? This woman is very... Then one day I looked, I said, this woman used to be very fine those days when I first saw her on TV. It's called tolerance. In medicine, that's what we call it, tolerance. You get used to something. For those of you who have been taking coffee, you know the way it was. When you were secondary, the first time you shot coffee, you couldn't sleep for 2 days. Then you increase the thing. After some time, the moment you finish taking a whole tin of Nescafe, you fall asleep on top of it. It happened to one of my roommates when we were in school. Paulo took 2 tablets of Fensic with a cup of coffee. Fensic contains caffeine. He finished drinking it. As soon as he finished, he relaxed for 5 minutes and slept till morning. It's called tolerance. It happens with perception of physical things also. You know, those days, I'm one man that I like fine rides. In fact, somebody asked me the other day, saw the car I was driving. He said, okay, you buy a new car? I called him. I said, Chido, if I buy a new car, you will know. He said, yes, sir. You can't see me drive on old Nissan and say, I buy a new car. Now, so those days, the car I used to admire the most? 230E. Flatwood. You know that 84 model car? Wow. I thought it was the most beautiful creature on the earth. Do you know, the one I used to drive then is still in this Enugu. When I see sometimes, I say, now, wow. This motor that time was to die for. Hey, look at the car now. Even if they gave you a brand new one, no, you can't have that effect again. That's how beauty is. Do you follow my point? That's why Paul said you must learn to approve the things that are what? Excellent. Let me talk about women briefly. One of the non-excellent things that women approve is wealth. And let me say something quickly. You see, there are things that are important to men. There are things that are important to women. Women love security. That's it. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Now, but why God put those things in there is that you're supposed to teach you the fear of God. You're supposed to get your security in God. But unfortunately, in life, they now think that physical things you can see dictates what security you have. But you see, when you get into marriage, you see there are things that are of more important security. Like there is nothing, this is what I experienced from people talking and all that I've noticed, the experience I've had in that area. There is nothing worse for a woman than for her heart not to fully trust in her husband. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, sir. One night they brought a woman to one clinic where I was working. The woman had written a suicide note for her husband and she had swallowed all the tablets in the house. And the husband came, begged me to please that she's in the house. I followed him to his house. I got there. It was a Hausa man. The woman is a Yoruba woman. You know, she was drowsy. She took a lot of all kinds of tablets. Some of them really sedated her badly. She was really, really, really drowsy. So I just explained to the husband, well, the hospital I was working at, they can't handle this kind of case, so let's transfer to a bigger hospital. So I helped him settle her into a bigger hospital and all that. But you see, when I was going back to my clinic, the driver was taking me back, the man's driver. He said, He doesn't understand this woman, no. He doesn't understand. Like this car we are in was a Honda Accord, you know. That is a woman's car. The man bought this car for her, you know. What else is she looking for? You know, he was driving her. In my mind, the guy, you don't understand. She would rather set this car on fire and be sure that this man's heart is with her. Which was, of course, you know, the man came back home that day around 12 midnight to find her on the floor. Normally, he doesn't come back home early. She had taken tablets hours earlier and left him a note that when you get back home, your usual late time, you will find my dead body. And these are the things that I drank. And no, so this is the reason why I did what I did. What am I saying? If you learn to approve the things that are excellent, there are different things you have in your mind, what you are calling beauty. I don't know whether I get my point. You know, my wife told me something once. She said that she used to admire something. That maybe she had friends, some people that, all the ladies she knew that was married, and they would be discussing how they had some challenges at home, and she and her husband prayed, and they believed God. To her, it was like, wow, anointing, you know. You join hand with your husband, and you prayed, and you believed God, and the problem was solved. Do you get my point? But you know, some other women, they're always like, my friend's husband just bought her a C-class brand new as a wedding present. That is what the soul is going after. I don't know whether I get my point. That's what I mean by approving the things that are excellent. Let me warn you about money, please. Money is a very dangerous thing. That is, it deceives people. It will come today. When you are used to it, it will fly away. Look, don't ever make eternal decisions on temporary things like cash. Are you getting the point with me? Don't ever do that. Don't make eternal decisions on temporary things. Now, so Paul was explaining that you must learn to approve the things that are excellent. And I've explained to you that for me, what was important were the things I've shared with you. It was important to me that a woman feared the Lord. Are you getting what I'm going to say? It was important to me that the woman showed what the Sarah spirit in being respectful to her husband. And for me, very, very crucial in my personal calling, in my goals in life, that my wife must believe that I could teach. For me, they were the most important things. So, now listen to this. Even if the original mermaid that they used to tell us about became flesh, if she did not demonstrate all these qualities, she did not attract me. Let me tell you something again about grace. Grace is not struggle. Grace is when you have believed the right things. Those things that you have believed move you by themselves. That's why you must practice this thing. Stop approving the things that are not excellent. Make them secondary. Those days, when we read the fourth dimension by Yonggi Cho, they say, write 10 points that you want and be looking at it every morning. Is that wrong? Well, really, I don't think it's basically wrong, right? But do I say you should practice it? Well, no, not exactly. But what I want to emphasize is that what are the points? Are they excellent? I want a man who is 6 feet and 3 inches. What I'm saying is that those are not excellent things. You know, if you ask a typical woman, she believes that a man that is tall, dark, and handsome is handsome. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because since she was young, she's been hearing tall, dark, and handsome. I'm just saying that so that you know that you must form your standards on God and don't be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Because when the chips are down, real things are real. Do you get my point? You can decide that this is the thing that is beautiful. All right? If you marry a woman that spends all day coating her nails, you know, one of the things that I dislike the most is a woman who spends all her money dressing herself. I think she's a bad wife. I'm not saying a woman shouldn't dress well. Did you hear what I said? But you shouldn't spend all your money. You just started working now. You have to look good. You are not generous. But, you know, you have extended yourself. You bought the most expensive wig in town. Your nails are imported from Italy. You know, nails. I don't mind you doing that if you can afford it. But those things are the secondary issues of life. What do you do with your money concerning the real things of life first? I'm just now to explain that real things are real. When the chips are down, you will find out the thing that is really real. You will find out that the real beauty, all right, in a woman is when I read the Proverbs chapter, is it 31 now? The whole list there. There are things that are approved in a woman. Talking about how, with the kind of discretion that she has. In fact, the Bible says that, like, it's when you put a gold ring, all right, in the nose of a pig, he said that is how a beautiful woman that lacks discretion or taste is. That is, she looks physically beautiful. I remember one girl went in the barracks. This will make you laugh. He said, this girl is very, very, that I served in the army. I had heard so much about how beautiful this girl was. The first time I saw her, I'm like, okay, yeah, she's all right. She's okay. From a distance. The first time I saw her close up, I went to visit an officer, and she was in the house. And she opened her mouth to answer a question that I asked. And the beauty crashed down by 90%. She couldn't speak decent English. Do you get my point? She looked so, you know, together. I just asked a simple question. Please, excuse me. You know what I mean? I tried to be very nice and spoke very nicely. And she goes, no, not be so. Not be this kind. I said, no, party. You know Bill Clinton? I heard this story about Bill Clinton. They said Bill Clinton was a real womanizer. Nobody today is that. So all the miss campuses, yes. Miss State, Miss here, Miss everything. That's the people he went after. Then one day, he brought Hillary Rodham home. And the mother looked at Hillary and called and said, oh boy, how far? We told him, Miss this, Miss that, you be. This girl doesn't look at her like a miss something. He told the mother that, listen, I'm going to the White House. There. Facial fineness, not the count. I need a woman that has brain. That this woman is very intelligent. No, that he has been plotting for the White House for a long time. Since he was a young boy, the guy had made up his mind he was going to be American president. He said when it was time to choose wife, he was looking for a woman that was articulate mentally, that I want a real first lady. And since it's not going to be a first lady of Nigeria, just commissioning everything all over the place, she's going to have to talk. He said, no, mommy, issue here is what? Brain. He married a very smart lawyer. Now, spiritually now, you understand what I'm going to say? I've proven the things that are excellent. If you want to pray, what kind of points do you have on the wall? Look for spiritual things first. That's why I started with my own personal testimony. And not once, not twice, several, that is, as a young man, single man, not married, not engaged. The easiest way to lose me, no matter how beautiful you appeared, was to show that you did not have serious, not just regard for the word, but interest in imbibing God's word. We couldn't gel. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, we just couldn't gel. I'm teaching you the word of God, you are not listening. Forget. That was just me. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. I told people then, that's why I told that story about concept of beauty. I said, when all those things are in place, whether the woman is short or tall, fair or dark, slim or fat, will be unimportant. And I said it clearly, it's not on my list. All I know is that when I finally meet her, I will like her, basically. No, what I'm telling you is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You know, I said all of this by saying that have a name. You understand? That is the name you impose upon the woman. You say, this woman, you don't mind them. This woman, they are not reliable at all. Yeah. You are saying it about other women now. You are not married. But you know what you are doing? You are forming an image in your heart. The day you marry, you pour that spirit into the unfortunate young woman. Unreliability is your portion. You get my point? You shall be spendthrift. You will not be able to plan. You will be scattered, because you've been telling yourself all the while. So I found something. Let me correct you, young ladies, now. Maybe you meet somebody like, maybe Ubong now, and you don't know him too well, and you are very nice. Good afternoon, sir. How are you? Brother, this, Then the moment he opens his mouth and starts buying you, speaking positive words, positive words. Starts taking extra care, noticing your hair, starts calling you periodically, then you now think that, hey, now we have become mates. UV, not come for head. It's a bad attitude. Believe me, it is a bad attitude. I think it should be the other way around. If a guy was your mate, secondary school, you've known him and all that, and so you are a high, rubbish kind of friend, that kind of thing. But the moment it starts showing you serious attention and you start noticing that, you actually like this guy. Let me tell you what to do as a godly woman. start imbibing the spirit of Sarah towards him. Are you getting my point? Because generally in life, people don't understand that thing. You think that the man you should disrespect the most is the one that's going to be your husband. I know what we say. You know, we are very free, you know. We are free with each other. There is no restriction. We are free, you know. This is lying freedom. Around rubbish. I remember once we went somewhere, one woman was talking. And her husband finished speaking and she got up to speak. And she said that, just like Ken just finished saying, and you know, now get my point. I'm not saying that is wrong or anything. I'm not trying to say that. But it was a lady that one of my friends, we all went for that program from the same fellowship together. When we left the place, we're just going to say, oh God, that couple, this is what she just say, oh, you know, she had never heard, you know, we that grew up around here, we didn't grow up in America, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we're not used to older couples like that, calling themselves, you know. She said, ah, she just called her husband. I looked at her and said, come here, my friend. Where did the Bible say it's a good thing? Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But approving things are excellent. The Bible says this is one you should have been tripped over. When she gets up and says, just like my Lord finished saying, ah, he said you should trip, you should fall, say, hey, Baba Yeke. Ooh, Sarah. You have to create new standards according to the word of God. The word has given us some things that are. I was telling you yesterday that I went somewhere. One brother was speaking, he said, you know, an American family. I said, keep quiet, my friend. American family, do you want to build an American family in your house? Hey, okay, it was Crystal and I that were talking yesterday. She said it was somebody that she knew that a white woman went abroad to go and deliver married to a Nigerian. And I said, they are not going to come back. He said, the woman is coming back because she says she cannot raise her children in America. A white American said, no, I am not going to raise my children in America. I'm coming to Nigeria to raise my kids. I know all of you know people. Now they are ferrying their children back home. That's the common thing now. People who wouldn't go to a Catholic church for anything in Nigeria, they will be lobbying. They will go for baptism so that just they can take their children to a Catholic school. Because that is the only place where there's any semblance of sanity. Sanity has vanished from every other place. You go and say, all the boys to this side, all the girls to this side. You don't know who's who. All the girls and all the boys look alike. The boys have the earrings, their hairs are plaited, a tie scarf, while the girls are there with their low cut, you know. Looking as boyish as possible. Confusion of spirit. So somebody was not trying to quote for me that, you see, in America, I said, my friend, please excuse me. We are saying, what did the Bible say about the home? Don't tell me about what Americans are. Americans are, they know themselves. You know, the Americans are very smart people. All these ones that they are, the people that really rule, they don't have time for it. In their houses, their children don't call the father Bill. If the papa, you think George Bush and George Bush Jr., they are saying George? No. The guy knows who's the first president and who's the second president. Prince Philip, that is the husband of the husband of Queen Elizabeth. They said one day they were interviewing the man, talking about disciplining children and all that. They said, that when Prince Charles was a Peking, you know what I mean? Child used to flog him thoroughly. He said, you know, in your society, I don't believe in caning children. No, he said, I used to beat him because I knew one day he would be king. He said, but in your society, you don't beat children. He said, no, that is for those he's going to rule over. That was what Prince Philip said. That the people he will rule over, they shouldn't cane their children. That's the way they will remain subjects. You don't understand my point? You don't discipline them. Leave them to live anyhow. But the guy who's going to rule, no, they said, this guy is going to be king. He must be well behaved. So this one that people are saying, talking about society here, everything is free. Listen, my friend, somebody said something about, it was a book I was reading. They described how the Asians know how to plot for a long time. They said that a Japanese company that, was investing for 200 years ahead, that they are projected where they will be in 200 years. Now, this is where I'm going to. They said, they asked, I think, a Chinese emperor, that what does he think about the impact of the French Revolution of over 100 years ago? Because by 100 years. He said, you know what the man said? He said that it's too early to tell. That is, a Chinese man said, it's not just about 130 years ago, it's too early to tell. Now, I'm bringing out the point here. All the problems, all this freedom and freeness that you are seeing in American society, the effect is too early to tell. The one you are seeing, their strength, was the one built upon the spirituality of the Puritans and people like that. That's all. That's what you are still saying. That is why the real people in America, you know, the last election, they were tired. The real Christians were tired. What you call born-again Christians in Nigeria, what they call them evangelicals in America. They said this is enough. They voted, they ensured that George Bush won the election. Other people that will be legalizing homosexuality and abortion anyhow, say, no, this is enough here. They know this will wreck the country. I'm talking about approving the things that are excellent. You don't, look, let's sit on our issue, marriage. You don't build it on the standards of your society if your children are going to be holy. Let me use that word. Because with God, it's so important. Let me say this, spiritual principle. There are things that God wants to do. In fact, I'm particularly persuaded about this, all right? That you see, in Nigeria right now, you know, people say that Nigeria is bad. What is wrong with our country? I say our country, God has shown us a lot of mercy. We have not built anything solidly yet. It is just now we're about to begin. What we're enjoying for, you know, your fathers, your uncles, you know, like mine too. They probably tell you that, in the 70s, in the 60s, Nigeria was good. You know what was happening that time? We were living on the grace of the white man. He imported the blessing that God had poured in his country. He brought it here and used it to build our country. Are you getting my point? Then we drove him away, which was all right, because a time had to come that we will be born ourselves. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then for the next few years, we enjoyed, right, his grace. Then after some time, the real blackness of our spirits began to manifest. Corruption, nepotism. Are you following my point? Those things began to destroy our nation. Now, when there is chaos, when there's absolute scatteredness, you can, everything is upside down. You follow my point? And the earth was without form and it was void. Then that is when God speaks. Then God is now speaking into our nation. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So he's speaking to the hearts of people like you and me and teaching us righteousness with which he will build a strong nation. He couldn't build a strong Nigeria upon the strength of the British. No, he couldn't do that. And that's what I'm trying to say. For the full effect of the things that he wants to do to come to pass, it must pass on to generations. That's why he said concerning Abraham, on his way to go and destroy, Sodom and Gomorrah. He said that, will I hide from my friend Abraham what I'm about to do, seeing that he's going to be a father of many nations? He said, I have chosen him so that he will teach his descendants after him the fear of the Lord in doing righteousness and justice, so that God can bring to pass the things that he had promised concerning Abraham. What was the promise of God concerning Abraham? That in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. You are getting what I'm going to say. There were many things that God wanted to do in the life of Abraham that would definitely outlive Abraham. Most of them did not even start during his lifetime. So God said, if that thing is really going to happen, Isaac must learn the fear of God. Jacob must learn the fear of God. They must build a nation upon the fear of God. You are getting what I'm trying to say? That is, if Abraham alone had feared God and died, nothing would have happened. For you and I to be gathered around here today, because of our respect for the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is because Abraham was a kind of person. And to God it was so important. Now I'm trying to apply it here. If you are going to have children that will amplify the blessing of God being born in this generation upon this nation, they must be born into homes built on Christian principles. These 3 days we have is too small to share many things I would have loved to share with us. For example, I'm not going to be talking about how a man and his wife should relate. I'm not talking about relationship now. That is basic foundational doctrine. One of the things I don't understand is this money is my wife's money and this one is my money. My wife contributes for the sustaining of the house. I'm the man, so I pay for everything. Then my wife contributes. Listen, it's not Bible talk. It's not Christian talk. My wife does not contribute to anything. You know why? She doesn't have anything. I don't contribute to anything. You know why? I don't have anything. We take care of the house. There is no dime that I have that does not belong to me, my wife. If you ever hear me, maybe you're a personal friend, you hear me say that that's my wife's money. What I am reflecting by that statement is that my wife does business. You get my point? So if I say that's my wife's money, I mean that's her business money. You have to be accountable. So you don't just spend anyhow. I don't mean it's her personal cash. No. Look, I always say, look, and this is, this. That's the way it's supposed to be. I tell people all the time, boldly, The other day, my wife was going to the bank. I said, please check my balance for me. That's on the phone. She will get there and say, please, what's my husband's account balance? She knows who to ask, the people there in the bank. And it's not as if, no, be corner deal, say, don't let my husband know. They know. They just say, okay, this is the amount in your, thank you very much. And she goes away. There's no hiding. Because it is as much her money as it is mine. Are you getting what I'm saying? The only thing is that I make, like I say in our house, that I am the chairman of the board of the house. Do you get what I'm saying? And she's the chief executive officer. You know what the chairman does? Yes. Policy. I sit down on policy. This is the, like the other day, you're telling me this is Christmas, so husband. You know, we buy gifts for so people Christmas time. I said, yes. He said, how much money am I supposed to spend on that? I said, okay, we will think about it. Do you get my point? So finally, you know, I said, you have not told me. What I did, that day I was rushing out. You know, because then she was only checking whether they had paid my salary. Do you get what I say? Uh-huh, your salary has been paid now. It don't clear. I said, okay, how much money did they? She told me. He said, okay, how much am I supposed to draw now? I just carried the check, signed it blank. You know, like just said, okay, let's just make this amount of money. That is, once we agree, she doesn't know that one is not enough. I said, I'll spend that one first now. She will use her handwriting to fill in the check, collect all the money. How she buys what for who is the chief executive officer's job. I am the chairman of the board. I approve all policies. the policy. I must approve the policy. We will sit down at this board meeting and approve the policy. Even the business she does, the proportion of her profit that goes to this, to that, was approved by me because I'm the chairman of that business too, even if though I don't run the business. I'm the chairman. I'm chairman by anointing. That is, I was appointed by God. You are getting what I'm saying? Yes, the chair. Thank you. But she's the one that's the chief executive officer. All I do is approve what? Policies. Policy, okay, we'll discuss the policy. Yeah, this policy stands approved. You know, there was a time I told her, sweetheart, that you are spending money, you know, freely in this house. I said, from now on, we'll have to put a cap. He said, you know, these are your children, they are growing. Look at it, they are. I said, I know, these are my children, they are growing, but they will grow according to what I'm willing to spend on them. Do they understand? Whether they understand or not, the answer is yes. So I explained, listen, because of this, and this, this is a maximum spending limit on general issues of the house. Say there's something that comes, I can do is pay fees, extra budgetary, you know what I mean? You have to do, present to the house again, an extra budget. As per 5 kobo that is somewhere my wife does not know about, you can be sure I too don't know about it. It fell behind the bed and we have not swept that corner yet. So we don't know it is there. That is how come she does not know about it. Now, these are certain principles that are founded upon the word of God, which our culture has not practiced, and which God demands that we be the ones to introduce it. I don't know whether I get what I want to say. Listen, in life, you know, in fact, my wife and I were discussing something yesterday, that this one that people decide that they must build heaven and earth before they get married. I said, do you know, it's even in Eastern Nigeria, it's a recent development. I hope you know that. Your fathers did not wait till they built the first Iroko tree in their village before they married your mother. You know that? It's one iniquity that Satan managed to deceive people into. Just to dispel something there, a woman is not a liability. That's one of the reasons why they think like that. A wife is not a liability. He said, you know, I have brothers to train. I said, is it not easier to train them with somebody helping you? No, people don't. They listen to Satan so much, they miss the blessing of God. The Bible says, he that observes a cloud will not reap. When God wants to bless people sometimes, they refuse to accept the blessing because they are leaning on things that are wrong. I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to make. Look, I have responsibilities as a man, that is the family I came out of and all that. But my wife knows everything, and she look. We have not done this. We have not done this. Okay, I will even follow up. Remember to do this. I mean, we are together in it. I don't know whether you get my point. He said, if two work together, they will have a good reward for their labor. Is that not how the scripture goes? Yes. I don't understand for people. You now think your wife is a liability. And you know it's both ways. Even the women think that they are a liability. So, the man who thinks a woman is a liability marries a woman who thinks she's a liability, and the man should be able to bear the liability that she is. Listen, in life, God has sent people into your life to help you. Are you getting my point? And most importantly, in the life of a man, all right, is a wife that God has sent to him. There are people that their ministry preachers will never go anywhere except that they have a woman to regulate the kind of relationships around them. You heard of Martin Luther? You know, when he began what he was doing, you know, he married a woman by accident, you know, by accident. He had to marry her because that was the only way to keep her. There's the way things were, you know. So they just, okay, okay, I just married this woman now. He said, okay, so they were trying to place the women in different places. So this woman was just, nobody liked the girl. You know, there's a way, she was a real one kind person. So she now defaultly became Martin Luther's wife. But somebody, where I was reading it, said she was the reason why the guy was sane for a long time. She was a no-nonsense woman. You know, the man will have his house. He had a big house. He used to come for to learn the word of God. And the man will openly allow everybody, and they will come in. After some time, the woman started charging gate fees. Some of you are not serious. You want to? You don't know. You will finish hearing the word, you eat food. Where would the food come from? No, seriously, you pay. You get? Then if you didn't have money to pay, you go and work. They had a farm at the back. But as for hearing the word free and not eating free food, not here. She was the commander-in-chief of the whole house. Everybody in the morning woke up and, oh yeah, all you boys, you have come to hear the word of God. Very fine. You will sweep this corridor. Rest of you, clear the front. As for the, you can hear word later. They said, left to Martin Luther. He, you know, he just there, be exposing the scripture, exposing the scripture. The woman left him to be exposing the scripture. She was putting order into the house. Do you get my point? She was not a liability. She was what? An asset. I said something yesterday. Let me repeat it again. You young men, the time is now to start believing God for marriage. Do you follow my point? It is not when you have made it. I'm saying that that is the only way you can quickly make it. I told the story of my friend yesterday. After I considered it, I said, God must have put the anointing for blessing upon this young girl. Not this guy wasn't the one that carried it. Are you getting my principle here? In all these our teachings, I need to close now. You know, the interesting part is that what I wanted to talk about today, let me tell you, it's written here clearly. I said strongholds in choosing the right mate. I put a subtop title under it, tribal issues in the life of a Christian. That was my topic for today. Incidentally, I'm just seeing it now as I'm ending. So I know I have not spoken of my own free will. You get what I'm saying? I have spoken as the Spirit directed me. Really, I'll still take that matter. Let me just introduce it and we'll go. My wife is from Ugeli in Delta, Ugeli North South. Is it North now or South? And I am from Ondo State. The only language we have in common, physically speaking, is English language. The spiritual language we speak is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32, he said, there are three ethnic divisions of man as far as God is concerned. He said, give no offense either to Jews or to Gentiles or to the church of God. He's not from our place. It's an ungodly statement. People in our village don't marry people from their village. It's the statement of Satan that you are repeating. And in Numbers chapter 14, I think verse 35, God said, those who repeat the words of Satan, they are ganging up against me. You have ganged up with the gods of your village against God. Paul said, henceforth we know no man after the flesh. One thing I know is that if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, everything, they have become new. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, it is not where he comes from physically. It is spiritual descent we are talking about. All right, if you have been blessed today, shout a very loud amen.